the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up, and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We sing the first verse of For All the Saints. For the month of November, we're going to be talking about how to be a neighbor. This idea of neighboring. And so you have this quote today from Martin Luther on the front of the bulletin. What is it to serve God and to do God's will, to do his will? Nothing else than to show mercy to our neighbor. For it is our own neighbor who needs our service. God in heaven needs it not. I'll leave you with this quote and with a new one each week that we can ponder, what does it mean to be a neighbor? And so Luther says, what it is to love God is to love our neighbor. God doesn't need our mercy. We need God's mercy. And our neighbors need it too. And so we share it with them. We'll be talking about how to be a neighbor and what it means to get to know our neighbors. What it means to know them a little bit more deeply than maybe we do right now. And we'll be talking about how it's hard sometimes to be a neighbor for various reasons. But today we're going to talk about when we don't know our neighbors all that well. And even sometimes when we think we know what's going on with our neighbors, but we really don't. I think All Saints Sunday can be a good day to enter into this conversation for a couple of reasons, the first of which is we don't always know what our neighbors are carrying around with them. And I don't just mean like what's in their purse or their wallet. We don't necessarily know that either. But I think of times when people have been deeply grieving and I haven't known about it. I think about times when my neighbor's been really anxious and that manifests in they have a rough conversation with me, or they're really dismissive or short, or they seem kind of like off-put by the fact that I wanted to say hello. And I wonder what maybe I don't know about what's going on with them and in their lives. You see, we don't always know what's going on with our neighbors, and Zacchaeus And this story, I think, helps model that, right? We get the first couple of identifiers, right? But they're kind of some of the two most basic things you could know about a person. He's short. He's not tall. And he's got a lot of money because this is what he does. He's a chief tax collector, which, like I told our young folks, means he was taking money from other Jewish people and collecting it to give to Rome. And often that meant skimming your salary kind of off the top of what you were collecting. So Zacchaeus has a lot, right? He's rich enough that sort of everybody knows he's rich. They know what he does, and they know that he's short. But that seems to be about all anybody knows about Zacchaeus. And I wonder how Zacchaeus felt maybe differently from the way that people saw. I wonder what was going on with him that we didn't know. What would he have shared if he was given space to share? If somebody had showed up at his house for dinner more often, what would have been the conversation? You see, I think we have this outsider perspective often, and we say, oh, he's fine. He's got more money than he could ever want. He's got a good, stable job. I don't really like it. But then I wonder what it feels like for Zacchaeus knowing that nobody likes him. Maybe his perspective was, everyone dislikes me. I don't really feel good about what I'm doing. I don't feel like anybody cares about me or anything. I wonder if he feels like there's kind of no winning. Like he's in this situation where he doesn't fit in either group, right? He's not with the Romans, but he's employed by them and works for their benefit. And he's not with his own nation of people, the Israelites. They don't like him. He's not a part of any group. I wonder, too, if Zacchaeus had this guilt and shame about feeling bad because he had so much. Like, I shouldn't feel bad for not fitting in. Look at everything I have. I shouldn't feel this way. Other people have like real problems. My problems aren't worth anything. And sometimes that mentality can sink us deeper and deeper into depression and anxiety. In fact, so maybe you know, maybe you don't. In 2018, some results of some studies that have been going on with our middle school and high school students in Lake Travis ISD came out, and out of those results came that students in Lake Travis ISD, compared with their peers in other local school districts, feel higher rates of anxiety and depression and loneliness, and think about self-harm or suicide more frequently. This is part of why we're engaging in mental health ministry as a congregation, by the way. It's not the only reason. There are many more than that, right? But we heard that news and we said, wow, I wonder what's going on. I wonder if people are feeling like they don't fit in. I wonder if people feel guilty about feeling bad because they know. Maybe they're saying, you know, I live in a nice house. I always have enough to eat. I know there are people in this world that don't, but so why do I feel so depressed and anxious and worried? Which can drive us deeper into these things. So I wonder if maybe we can see some of that in Zacchaeus. Maybe not, right? But imagine maybe we do. And then I wonder, what does it look like to engage our neighbors that we don't know that much about? Or maybe our neighbors that we've judged by the cover and not what's inside. And I look at what Jesus does for Zacchaeus. Somebody who's often overlooked because he doesn't feel like he belongs and doesn't really belong in any group. And also often overlooked because he's kind of short and can disappear in a crowd. Jesus, as he goes by, sees Zacchaeus. And goes to his house for dinner to make space for this guy that nobody else really wanted to befriend or make some space for. Jesus sees him and creates space to hear what Zacchaeus has going on. And Jesus points to Zacchaeus' inherent belonging to the family of God. Right? Jesus says in verse 9 of our gospel reading, "Today salvation has come to this house because he too, Zacchaeus too, is a son of Abraham." Zacchaeus does belong in God's kingdom. And it changes everything. Jesus seeing and going and eating with Zacchaeus, right? What does Zacchaeus say? He stands there and says to Jesus, "Look, half my possessions, Lord, I'll give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone, I'll pay back four times as much." It's almost like Zacchaeus was waiting for an opportunity to engage in loving generosity with the people around him. But he felt like nobody cared what was going on in his life. Nobody heard him. He didn't fit in. Jesus makes space for him, reminds him of his belovedness, and his world is changed. I wonder on this All Saints Day, friends, who has seen you? Who do you remember and give thanks for? Who has made space for you to share what's really going on in your life? Who in your life, now and throughout your years, has created a space for you where you are reminded of your belonging? Where you're reminded of things like Paul says, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in Christ, you were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit, the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people. When you were reminded of your baptism, that you are a beloved child of God. Can you think of somebody in your life? Give thanks for those saints. Give thanks for the way that Jesus does this, not only for Zacchaeus, but for us today. Through those saints and in ways like offering us Christ's own body and blood, he offers himself for us for the sake of a reminder we are part of that same body of Christ. We have received the gift of salvation. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. So we don't have to walk around with masks on all the time, just on Halloween for fun. We can engage and show mercy for our neighbors and make space for them to be who they are. We can host events and watch a film called The Mark of War and talk about the impact that being in war has on a person. And get to know what some of our neighbors carry around with them each and every day. We can begin to meet our neighbors in new ways. Friends, I hope you'll make a commitment with me. You should have seen a little insert in your bulletin. And on the front, it talks about this How to Be a Neighbor series. And in the middle, there's 9 boxes. In the middle box, it says, "I live here." That's where you live. That's your household. I wonder, can you name and say something about 8 of your closest neighbors? I can't. I've got like 1.5 on my sheet. So not only do I not know what my neighbors are carrying around, but I don't even really know my closest neighbors. Right? And neighbor is certainly more than just the people who live closest to us. So let me limit it. We're going to bust that wide open in a few weeks. But it is also those people who live close to us that we encounter day in and day out. I am hoping, if I've got 2 out of 8 boxes filled in, I'm hoping to have 5 filled in when I do this January 1st. I'm wondering if you might find a way to get to know your neighbors, to make space to remind them that they belong, that they are beloved. To get within us this sense of empathy and understanding and love and mercy. For when we share love and mercy with our neighbors, we are sharing with God. We experience for ourselves God's love. When we have this space made for us, when we are reminded of our own loveliness, and when we can help others be reminded of theirs, it changes everything. We are transformed by this love to love. Maybe it looks like selling half your possessions. Maybe it simply looks like getting to know your next door neighbor. Or a little bit of both. But it changes the way that we see and think and view everything through this lens of love and deep care and mercy for one another. Loving our neighbors starts with getting to know them. So let's get to know our neighbors. Everybody to stand as you are able. We're going to sing 2, 6, and 7. So where you see this 3, 4, 5 at the bottom, don't even have to worry about it today. We're just going 2, 6, and 7 back from the front through the Hallelujah verse.